Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
I'm Mike Kalameko from Food Talk. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte, and I can't think of a better thing to do today than sit in the studio on a beautiful day and drink some rum. And in the studio today, luckily enough, I have my buddy Manny Pena from Diplomatico Rum. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you are the brand ambassador for Diplomatico in the States, and you guys, actually, you had a competition yesterday. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. Yesterday we had an opportunity to have 12 of the best contestants in the whole New York area.
Wait, I wasn't there. Come on.
Come on, you were probably working. But we selected from a submission of over like 50 recipes across the New York area, we selected 12 contestants who battled it out yesterday. And it was amazing to see, like, you know, you are stuck with one brand. And yeah, you think, but like when those bartenders have the time to like really rise to the occasion and get creative and get open outside of their normal environment that they are like regularly in, for them to just go in and, you know, go crazy with ingredients, go crazy fermenting stuff, it was pretty fun to watch.
Cool. I mean, I've been at a few competitions over the past couple of weeks, and it's really interesting to see. I'm not very competitive, so I try not to enter competitions. It's been a while, but it's frightening to me as a person who might enter to see like what kind of creativity is happening with a lot of the cocktails that are being entered into the competitions. And what were some of the cool things that you saw yesterday?
Fermenting roots, making their own sodas, making like drinks with yogurt. Really, really interesting stuff. It was really, really fun to watch.
Yeah.
Totally.
When you're at these competitions, what are some of the things that you look for? I mean, obviously it's a little bit of everything, but what are some of the things that stand out to you? It's like the presentation,
It's as a whole. I mean, it's a complete package. You have to look for like different elements. You look for craftsmanship. You look like the technique from a barman, you know, like somebody really handling themselves. And as well, something very important is the story of the drink. It's not just mixing ingredients. It's just like really like a canvas, and they go and they explain why this and they come with a story like of this gentleman who was freed from France, Papillon, and like it was to be free, the butterfly, that was the name of the drink. And like it's more than just a drink in front of you. Like it's the whole story. It's like grasping really interesting factors, like stuff as well, personal experiences that you could apply to that drink and the way that you communicate that as a final product. That's where pretty much it's the judge is based on.
Yeah, I think it's interesting the way that it's changed over even like the last few, like 3 to 5 years, you know, whereas before it was, you would submit a recipe, right? And then the panel would recreate the recipe, the cocktail, and judge by that. But now there's so much more involved. Like you said, you know, the backstory, the technique, just like there's so many elements that go into it. And, you know, you can't really express that when you enter a submission through like an email. You know, you have to be there because like the nature of what this is you have a bartender making this drink for you and explaining it to you. So it's like, it's really interesting to see that whole package come along.
But only you make the drink. You know how to make it. You know, like as a chef, you are a chef with your ingredients. Like you have, like sometimes like in your mind, you have a vision And then when you taste it, it's not what you thought it was going to be. And vice versa. I mean, like, just by having elements and just the juice, you could readjust the recipe. It's never the same thing email, but, you know, judging by that criteria, like pulling those drinks, like, you're just looking for balance between elements. And, you know, with experience, you get to. But it's never the same thing as somebody making their recipe and showing you how to peel that orange from that angle and, like, those oils properly spread around the glass. Like, it's just, nobody does it like you. Like, you do it. It's
yeah, I always think that, you know, I could always, like, look at a cookbook and create, like, make a dish, but it's always going to taste better. In general, I think that a drink or a dish is always going to taste better if someone else makes it for you, you know?
It's like when you go to different places who specialize in stuff, and that's where, like, you go to Spain, and somebody's drinking rum and Coke, and you're like, what? Why? And then you see the bartender with a big globe, like, good ice, Mexican Coke, and he's, like, putting the orange peel and the lemon peel, and the way that he's pouring the Coca-Cola over the, like,
of the spoon,
it's just dramatic when you put it in your mouth and you're like, yeah, this is the best rum and Coke I ever had in my whole life.
People kind of tend to forget that Coca-Cola is basically like a carbonized Amaro, you know? It really is. Well, without alcohol. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, someone told me that like 7 years ago. I was like, oh, I like whiskey and Amaro together, and I also like bubbles in my drink, so I'm not a hater, you know? I like that. Let's talk about Diplomático. Why don't you give me the rundown on Diplomático?
Wow. Yeah. I'm ready. Diplomático, it's a brand from the foothills of Venezuela. This area, it's the most beautiful area for cane growing. We're talking about 80% of the total cane growing in Venezuela happens in this area. Venezuela, it's huge. Like, it's a huge territory in this area specifically. By having all that cane sugar, they traditionally been harvesting sugar there, so they built this distillery, like, right around there. So, great source of water. Fantastic weather conditions for cane growing and for rum aging. So it's just perfect. You have all the conditions to make great rum. Diplomático, it's the smallest out of the whole production of the plant. This is like the baby. This is the baby project who started around few years back with Seagram's. Seagram's launched Diplomático as a brand, with historic package of rare rums of the Caribbean, which I think it was way ahead of its time. This was, we're talking about like 10, 12 years ago when they had a package of 4 bottles of rum being sold for like $150. Like, now you see Compass Box, now you see more and more products within that criteria, but rum was never seen after like a premium drink. Like, it was always very comfortable. So it was ahead of this time, and they, you know, decided to sell the distillery. And whoever who bought the distillery was the same people who were employed by them. So right now it's owned by 2 families in Venezuela, and they are just doing this really fantastic product that it's, you know, pretty much cutting surface in the States, but in Europe it's one of the top rums, like, in, you know, in Spain and France, and like, you think of like markets like India, like, mm-hmm, Russia, and doing really, 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 really well. This is a rum now. It's being made by a gentleman called Tito Cordero, El Maestro. He's the master. He has won in the Rum Fest in the UK 2 years in a row, best distiller in the world. Like, the guy's like serious about like his spirits.
Yeah, you guys have won a ton of awards.
Yes, it's like one of the most awarded rums in the world. I'm very, very happy. That makes the selling much, much easier.
Makes your job easier, right?
Yeah, much. But the secret about the Diplomático, it's pretty much you gotta taste and you gotta see the standards of the company as a company. When you see like their entry level rum, let's say the Añejo, it's this one is a 4 years old. By Venezuelan law, which they have to be adhered to the AOC laws of Venezuela, rum only has to be aged for 2 years. And, you know, for them to their first release is a four-year-old, it kind of shows you where they're trying to position themselves as a brand. And jumping from that to the Blanco, like we have our white sipping rum. It's the only, like, white rum that has been aged. Like, it's the white rum is a six-year-old. That after we age it for 6 years, we charcoal filter the color, and then you end up with white rum. It's kind of cheating. Because it's so smooth, it's wow. So creamy, it has so many different notes, and it's just beautiful. And all the products, the common use is bourbon cask. Mm-hmm. We use bourbon cask and throughout the whole line, from the Añejo to Reserva Exclusiva. The main difference is the chemical composition of the actual rum, that is not just molasses, base rums. You can make rums as well from cane juice, like agricoles, but Diplomático is particularly made with cane honey, which is pretty much taking fresh cane juice, evaporating the water, and ending up with high viscosity, but very good product for distillation of like higher quality rums. Like we ferment this cane honey, and then the cane honey is only distilled in copper pot. And then aged for 12 years in the case of the Reserva Exclusiva. And it's just magical. And you have to put them like in front of you. And after you taste, that's where you gain people right away.
Are you telling me we should taste it?
Yes.
All this talk has got me kind of crazy right now.
Well, we should start with the Añejo, which is the 4-year-old. This one, it's a composition. This is a mixing rum. But this one is a composition of 20% molasses and 20% cane honey and 80% molasses. My apologies. And this is aged, like I mentioned, for 4 years in former bourbon cask.
Salute.
Salute.
You know, I love bourbon and I love rum, so thanks for putting those together.
Definitely. It's approachable, but this is.
I want to apologize to the listeners. Sorry, you can't be joining us right now, or maybe you have a bottle at home, or hopefully you're not driving, listening to this in your car. But yeah, it's delicious. Go ahead.
So this is the 4 year old. This is Añejo, Diplomático Añejo. This is more for mixing with your Amaro soda, and you know, like. Goes very well with juices, like tropical juices especially, and it's just, you know, has like very good balance, but it has like very nice notes of vanilla, very nice notes of toasty notes that I love.
Yeah, it's delicious. I mean, I remember the first time I saw Diplomático, I think it was probably like, I mean, you said there was a launch for it about 2 years ago?
At Dead Rabbit,
right?
Yeah.
Which is an amazing place. Jack and John. Awesome guys.
And Pam. Don't forget about Pam.
Oh, yeah, Pam. Pam and Jillian and everyone. Yeah, they're all great. Yeah. Sorry. I could run down the whole roster of people working. But I remember seeing it about, like, I guess probably for the first time, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, and I picked up a bottle. I can't remember where it was, but I just instantly fell in love with it. I really like this style of rum because it, like you said, it's very easily to, like, mixable, but at the same time, you know, I like drinking rum straight. You know, just having it like on ice, like one cube, or just neat. You know, and this is like one of those rums where you can totally sip on it. You know, it's great.
It's very versatile. I mean, you could have like on the rocks, and your girlfriend could be like, oh, you just add a little lime juice, a little simple syrup, and you whip a daiquiri like right there. And
that's always
just
the test, isn't it?
Oh, that's
anytime a new rum is around, you're like, all right, well, we got to make a daiquiri now.
Exactly. I mean,
see how it plays out.
This is like, I know, you know, Diplomático, like in Brooklyn, like Maison Premier, like this is where like all the daiquiris are made with Reserva Exclusiva. I mean, Maxwell has done wonders there with this product. I can't thank enough.
Yeah. Cool. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get back. I just think that there's like such an amazing movement with rum right now. So let's talk about that when we get back. All right, back in a moment with Manny from Diplomatico.
This one's called Let's Not by Shadowbox. You're listening to The Speakeasy on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
United States that has its own USDA inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. A full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
And we are back. We were just talking about the Diplomatico rum with our buddy Manny, and there's a bunch of different expressions that they have now. The first one I ever saw was the one that actually was the one that we were sipping on before the break, the 4 year, and we're still sipping on it right now, but I can't wait to get into some of the other expressions. Some of the things that I've noticed recently, and this conversation comes up a lot, you know, especially with certain things like, first of all, the kind of the situation that like American whiskeys are in right now, where they're kind of harder to get hold of, they're like running lower on supply, and there was such a big wave of American whiskey enthusiasm over the last like 5 years or so, and it's great that happened and that it is happening. I love that. But what's really cool about that is that it's ushered in a lot of different spirits that, you know, gin's always kind of like been like kind of in the top five, but like closer to five than one.
Gin is like the stepchild, like
it's, yeah,
truly is. But yeah, I mean, like the brown spirits, it's growing drastically and dramatically, and it hasn't stopped. And we all thought like the tequila bandwagon was gonna like just derail like weeks ago, and you know, still like every week it's coming a whole new brand of, sure, tequila or rum, or like brown is hot, and you know, inexpensive products who aren't like $200-$300 like for your masses, it's really what they after, the masses, but a little premium.
Yeah,
that's I think that's the goal right now.
I think that rum is about to just, I think it's already kind of like moving in the direction, but I think it's kind of starting to explode right now, with especially with like the revival of all of the like tiki movements and stuff like that. But it's not just that. I think it's people like really appreciating, like we're talking about a little bit in the break, there are all these higher end aged rums that are coming out, all these different expressions from different distilleries that are kind of like you mentioned, like Zacapa before, and like some of the Facundo Bacardi stuff and stuff. I think there's like just so much exciting things happening with rum. And the other thing about rum also is that you can't just, you know, when you read old cocktail books and it says aged rum, you're like, wait a minute, what aged rum? Because they're so different from island to island, country to country, you know, and is it agricole? Is it industrial? You know, it's a really amazing category that can't really be funneled into here's one rum. You know, so that's what's great about, you know, brands like yourself having all these different expressions. And we have the Blanco in front of us now, which is awesome.
Yeah, like looking within all, like all those different expressions, like we are within a house style, you know, warm, tropical, Venezuela. So stylistically, our rums tend to be like within like monodimensional, like. But you see like rums from like Guadeloupe, you see rum from Barbados, you've seen rums from Fiji, rums like, you know, rums from Cuba, rums like from all the islands, like being so different and so interesting. So I think it's super hard when you find a book from like 1890s and they just say like H rum, it's kind of hard to interpret that.
It really is. And even if it said white rum, if this one is so different, I mean, it's like you said before the break, like it's like creamy and it's got a lot of structure to it. You know, it's very rich for a white rum. It's got kind of like a butterscotchy, like richness to it. And
if you taste it blindfold, like it'll be very, very, very hard for you to say it's a white rum.
It's almost like an Irish whiskey. And like, to me it is, you know, it's like you could do so much with this. A lot of times there are certain, you know, there are certain drinks that certain old school cocktails that are, you know, the rare like stirred white rum drink, like the like El Presidente, things like that. It, depending on what white rum, which white rum you use in that drink, it could fall apart or it could be really great. This would be awesome in El Presidente.
I totally agree. And like going back to the conversation that we were having about daiquiri, you know, like in all essence, you think like a daiquiri will be just like equal parts of rum. But when I was mentioning Maison Premier, they're using equal parts of a rum that is 12 years old with equal parts of an Agricole rum. And then simple and then lime. And that's where they're finding so many dimensions. And it's so, so cool to see and to understand. The more that we understand our spirits, is the better drinks we're going to end up making. And I think drinks now are better than they ever been. I mean, like, we have now, sure, like, sourcing of, like, great fruit. We have sources of, like, you know, the geekiest, weirdest ingredients we could find right now. We could find, like, great cardamom. But imagine if you were, like, in Louisiana in like 1950, I don't know, as creative as you wanted to be, like you don't have access to all this. And now when you go to a little bar in Harlem and you sit down and like 67 Orange, and you know, and somebody's making a proper drink, and you like, we come.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
It is amazing. You know, I always say, I feel like a broken record a lot of times, but I keep saying it because it's true. We're just living in the best, most exciting time for cocktails and for spirits in general, and drinks in general, and food in general. We're just really lucky.
It's legal.
Everything's legal now. Most of it's legal.
Oh, I mean, like,
we're getting close to that.
Yeah, too. I mean, like, it's great. I mean, like, when I'm running around as a rum runner, it was like my kids now, it's okay for my kid to pick up a six pack and pass it to me. But like, you know, you think about it, you look 70 years back, like it wasn't the same thing. And it's just beautiful to be a rum runner in 2014.
That's awesome. You get to, I hope on your business card it says rum runner.
I'm going to change that.
Yeah, you should change that. Yeah, this is really cool. I mean, like when I have this, it doesn't make me, I mean, of course, I would, like I said before, you know, I'd always test out a rum as a daiquiri, but this one, it's like, I don't know, it's like, I want to do other things with this rum, this with the white rum. It's really, really cool. Man.
Tiki drinks.
Yeah, lots. You know, I want to put things like passion fruit and, like, some different spices in it. It's really cool. I'm sorry, man. I feel bad because I've tasted everything, but
I see, like, smoke coming.
Yeah, there's, like, the gears are turning, man. Thanks for bringing this on.
And we are about to taste right now our Reserva Exclusiva, which is the 12-year-old. So this is like the 80% of our total production. This is the workhorse. This is what, you know, when people think of Diplomático, that green bottle, yeah, I got it. I gave it to my father-in-law, and he loved it. And I have to get it for him every now for the season.
It's just like, the first one I had. This one's Excellent. Don't worry, Jack. We're saving some for you. I always feel bad for Jack. He's he hangs out in the booth, and we're just talking about rum, and I can see him like just staring in here with like puppy dog eyes.
Yeah, don't feel bad for me. I usually get to taste it. It's the listeners that don't get to taste it.
Yeah, sorry, listeners. Yeah, this is the first one I had, and you know what? I love this one. One of my favorite drinks is a rum old fashioned. And I just, it's great. Well, I love it in old fashioned of any spirit, really, but especially rum. And this is the one that I've always turned to when I'm sitting at home watching old episodes of Cheers. I always make myself a rum old fashioned with Diplomatico.
I wish you were my neighbor.
Hey, well, you're welcome to come over anytime. It's on, Cheers is on Netflix. So it's never ending. We should get a sponsorship from them for that.
Sure. And speaking of old fashioned, I just did a cocktail list last week here in Brooklyn for this account called Spirited, mm-hmm. Which is a really cool account. It's a bakery and a full-on mixology bar. Like, the owner is the baker, so she hired Frank Stilo.
Stilo. My boy, Stilo.
Stilo's doing the cocktail program there, and the rum old-fashioned it's made with Diplomatico Reserva Exclusiva. So, yeah, he's right there. I have to give that to you.
Stilo's great, man. I don't know. I think it's one of the best drinks. You know, I feel like there's beauty in that simplicity. You know, especially because a lot of times when you have a lot of rum drinks, they, like you said before, like tiki drinks. You know, like they kind of, it's a beautiful thing. Like Brian Miller always says, "What one rum can do, three can do better." And I get it. You know, it's the thing with tiki drinks, but to me, it's like having a cocktail like an El Presidente or an Old Fashioned. You really let the spirit shine. You know, they come through. You know, to me, like you were saying before, like doing a split. I would love to do a split with the Blanco and this one here with the 12-year. I think it'd be awesome. Like do like it a 50-50 split. Actually, you know, it'd be really cool. And just keep it simple with some Angostura, maybe a dash of orange. It'd be amazing. It's one of the like most gratifying drinks, you know, a rum old fashioned, and I don't think people drink them enough.
You and I are about to become like really close, because the way you're talking about it is like I think I'm hearing myself. Like it's really, really like old fashions are, you know, like really, it's a great drink. It's very simple and like three ingredient cocktails are much, much harder than balance. Like 10, 12 things masking one on top of another. So when you have like something coming, like shining through and like making homage to the spirit, I think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. So you on the side of rum, have you seen a lot of kind of like upswing with rum, like in restaurants and bars? I mean, like, of course you see it all the time, but like, it's definitely, I feel like it's definitely come a long way, you know? It's become more of a thing that, like, rather than being used in cocktails all the time, it's like more of a thing where people are actually like, all right, let's sip on this.
Yeah, I mean, we all have to thank, after Diageo purchased Zacapa and, you know, like, that segment of rum was enhanced and exploited and, like, you know, taking advantage, and nobody else was doing it. And it's really, like, you know, you see Zacapa everywhere, and you know, people are sipping this rum, and it's my constant bottle just going in and knocking this brand out. But you have to give credit where credit is due. Like, and, you know, like, big pocket from marketing, big companies, like, to put a certain segment out there, it's just like, you know, like a grape vodka, and right. you never thought it was gonna really make it, but you know, you get a public figure and the brand just goes up the sky, and it's just like, it's the money that you put out there, and it was a new category being created, and it's just like now with rums, and you know, like price point it's a very, very important thing, and that's why bourbon made the breakthrough like the way it did, and right now supply, it's just a problem.
Yeah. Well, that's what's crazy about rum, too. It's like, you look at, you know, not to knock on any, like, kind of American whiskeys or anything like that, but, like, when you start looking at these, like, quote-unquote moonshines and, like, white dogs and stuff like that, why are they so expensive? They're not even, like, some of them are more expensive than the actual aged product, you know? And then you look at rum and you're like, dude, there's a lot of care and attention that went into this and a lot of time that went into this, and it's still very affordable. And it's like, you get so much joy out of it.
Spanish Chinese labor. It's just, you are in the islands, and, you know, like, this is growing, like, cane grows there like weed. It's just like, it's like corn here, but it's more expensive to harvest it here. And over there, when you're using, like, byproducts, like molasses, and used barrels from who are used to mate whiskey. So there's merit between all of them. And, you know, like, they all complement from each other. But it's just, for me, it's hard to understand when somebody is showing me a whiskey that it's a 7-year-old whiskey and it costs $250, and when I have a product that has been, like, taken care of, like, better than your 7-year whiskey, it's just, you know, there's sometimes a disconnect. But, you know, the people who appreciate good rum are out there, and it's growing, and people are getting more savvy, and I think value is very important when you get something when you're paying on a bar $40 for a shot, and you taste something that it's not like a fraction of that, and you'll be like, this is pretty smooth, this is comparable to this, and people educate themselves and they just get better at it, and that's why I'm here, I think.
Yeah, well, I appreciate good rum, and I really appreciate your company and all the great rum that you brought with you. And yes, we are now very good friends, and thanks for coming on the show, Manny. This has been really awesome. I sometimes feel like I know it all, but that's one of my favorite things about this industry is that you can always learn more, and I've definitely learned a lot today, and I hope that our listeners have as well. So thank you for coming on the show again today, Manny. I know you guys are very busy, and I appreciate you taking the time to be here.
No, very, very happy to be here, and, you know, thanks for the opportunity of, you know, telling the people about my beautiful brand.
Yeah, absolutely. And check out Diplomatico in your bars, check out the website, and to that, I say salute.
Salute, hermano.
All right. Cheers. And check out Heritage Radio Network for many other amazing programs like this. See you next week. Save your soul. The
in them rhythm and blues that thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.